What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Mini Crush.
Spooky Crush.
That's right, the first ever Halloween Mini Crush Spooktacular.
I'm going to talk like this the whole time. It's my ghost voice.
That's a terrible ghost voice.
Come on, man. Give me a break.
One break coming up.
That was good, Chuck. Is that your ghost voice?
No, that was my Van Halen ref.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't get that. I'm under 40.
Man. You're really hammering me about my...
I'm almost 40. I mean, I'm halfway to 40.
I can't wait till you're 40. I'm going to bury you.
You're going to give me shit? I deserve it.
I'm going to bury you with Viagra jokes.
And Van Halen CDs. Yeah.
That's a good thing.
I just know Hot for Teacher and, you know, the Sammy Hagar stuff.
Van Hagar, huh?
Yeah.
That's Emily's jam.
Yeah.
She's like, I like Van Hagar better. I'm like, what?
He did Right Now. Mm-hmm. Hey, no tomorrow.
Yeah.
I remember that from the Crystal Pepsi commercial.
I like Van Hagar. I saw them in concert.
Yeah.
I've seen all the Van Halen incarnations, yeah. Actually. That's not true.
No, early Van Halen.
I did not see Gary Sharon.
Awesome. Early, I mean, like, that dude could shred, and that drummer is fantastic.
Yeah.
The opening of Hoffer Teacher with, like, the double bass, classic double bass.
Yeah, you know who does that song live sometimes is Ween, who I'm going to see this weekend.
Oh, that's right.
Are you going?
No, I'm not going.
Oh, no.
I've got the kid, man. I got the kid. I've seen Ween several times, though. They are great, and they do excellent covers.
Yes, I've seen them do Hot for Teacher. I've seen them do Purple Rain. They kind of got into a groove where they were doing some, like, pretty great songs. Cover songs, that is.
I'm a big fan of Mr. Richard Smoker.
Yeah. That's a good one. You're a poopy poker.
Yes.
So wrong. All right. So, Noel, this is our first ever Spooktacular. I was going to thank someone at first, but now I don't see it. But someone went and found footage from the David Byrne show of me removing the beer shot from the balcony.
What?
And put that on our page.
No way. I didn't
see
that.
Oh, thank you to Christian Frühling. Someone posted that, and it's right there. That's me. It's kind of cool. And I kind of wonder what the stage looked like from a different perspective. And there you have it. That balcony, it's a good seat.
Oh, yeah. I think that. I mean, the more I think about it, the more that might have been the optimal seat for that show.
Balcony?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you get front row of the balcony.
Front row of the balcony would have been awesome.
I kind of agree. All right. So, Noel, here's what I did. This is going to be a two-part Halloween Spooktacular this year, horror movie special. You and I are going to man the boards today, and I just posted a bunch of, three or four questions to the Movie Crush Facebook audience to hear what they think about some stuff. And then next week, and I'm very bummed that things got reshuffled today because we were supposed to record with you and me and Robert and Joe from Stuff to Blow Your Mind.
And now I was really looking forward to it.
And Robert fell ill, couldn't do it, so we switched it up and you and I are doing this one today. And then next week, the three of us, me, Robert, and Joe are doing it because you're on tour.
I'm on tour. What goes on tour stays on tour, and that's me.
You should have plugged your tour. In fact, actually, this will be coming out
Monday.
On Monday.
Yeah.
So plug your tour. Where are you playing?
So this podcast I do called Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, where we apply critical thinking to conspiracy theories and creepy stuff and, you know, weird government cover-ups and all that, anything you can think of in that vein. We are doing five shows. We start off in Boston. On Tuesday, October 23rd, we're at the Armory in Boston. And then Thursday, October 25th, we are in Arlington, right outside of D.C. at the Arlington Cinema and Draft House. Then Friday, October 26th, we're at the World Cafe Live in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And then Saturday, October 27th, we are at the Bell House in Brooklyn, which I love. We have done a show there before, and it was great.
Oh, man. That's our home away from home.
Yeah. And then Sunday, we're back here in Atlanta with a show at Terminal West, the hometown show.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
When? Next Sunday?
Next Sunday, the 26th. 28th, rather. Excuse me.
Oh, dude. I'd like to go to that.
Yeah, of course, man. We'll put you on the list.
All right.
So, yeah, if anyone is into that kind of stuff, we've got a fun show cooked up. It'll be me and Matt and Ben, who you may know from other shows. You may know from that show. And we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, man. Go out and meet Noel. And give him a kiss on the cheek if he allows it with consent.
Yeah, yeah. I'll consent to that.
So you're just consenting to everyone kissing you on the cheek?
All the kisses.
Blanket consent.
Yeah.
All right.
Blanket me with kisses is what I say.
All right, Noel, let's get into it here. I'm really bummed you're not going to be in that part two next week.
I know, because those guys are horror aficionados. Yeah, I am a fair weather horror fan at best, but I do enjoy it and looking forward to talking with you about it.
Yeah, I'm even here's my deal since we're talking about horror movies. I like horror movies. I am not an aficionado. I am not a rabid, like, got to see the next big horror movie that comes out every time. If it gets good buzz and I hear it's good, I definitely want to check it out because I do like horror films. But like Hereditary, I heard about that and I was like, I got to see this in the theater. So that happens sometimes. It Follows, The Witch. Those were all movies that got sufficient buzz to drag me into the theater to see them. Because horror movies are great to see in a room full of people.
Totally. I just rewatched The Witch the other night. Totally holds up. Love it.
Did I tell my witch story in here about seeing that in New York?
Oh, I don't think so, no.
So, spoiler alert coming up. If you haven't seen The Witch, you may want to tune out for the next, like, 30 seconds. Crowded theater in New York. The scene where the crow is picking at the woman's breast. Mm-hmm. You could hear a pin drop. Everyone's crawling out of their skin. And this girl, like, on the third row goes, "That's so fucked up." And everybody died laughing. Because we all needed that.
Was it like this amazing Valley Girl voice?
It was perfectly timed. It was one of the great movie shouts in a theater I've ever heard.
It reminds me of that Seinfeld episode where he's like, they're seeing the movie about the blimp or the Hindenburg or whatever. Uh-huh. And George has his movie shout joke planned.
Oh, that's right.
I don't remember what it was, but it's definitely a thing. Yeah, that's great, man.
Oh, man. All right, so that's my deal with horror movies. You're, I think, sounds like a little more of an aficionado than me.
Yeah, I don't. It's not my genre. I enjoy it though, and I've seen enough to talk about it, I guess.
Yeah, I think I would see more if Emily was really into it. Like if she was like, "Oh yeah, let's do that."
Didn't you say she gets the creeps? She doesn't.
She's not really into it.
She's not into it.
No, but she wants to know. It's funny.
Yeah.
She's like, "I don't want to see that, but tell me about it."
Yeah, exactly. Or like, let me read the Wikipedia.
Yeah,
<it.">
yeah. It's funny.
Like, I know the murder traps in every Saw movie, never seen a one of them.
I think I saw that first Saw movie. Mm. Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah.
But you and I are on the same page. We've discussed it on the show that we much appreciate something like a truly disturbing Hereditary than like the torture porny Hostel type of films.
That stuff's no fun.
Yeah.
That stuff's no fun for me.
But we're, you know, it's good times lately because there's been a renaissance of great horror films in the past decade, I think. So the first question I pose to you all, the listening audience, is basically this. What's your favorite all-time horror movie? I just thought I'd lob one out there And I'm going to just leave this one up too, because this ends up being, again, a good recommendation thread. And 174 people replied. So I'm going to go through as many of these as I can. Scott Bailey says, a tie between Alien and The Shining. Is Alien a horror movie?
Oh, sure. Okay. I think so. I mean, it's
sci-fi
it's,
horror.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. I've heard people argue that. Steph Shannon says, I absolutely loved The Conjuring. Really scared me. Made me appreciate a good spooky film. Ashley Reynolds says, The Witch. It's such a feminist take on witch mythology and lore. Truly creeps me out and also makes me feel empowered. That's great. Nick Kelly says, The Mothman Prophecies with Richard Gere. I never saw that one.
I haven't seen that, but I have been to Point Pleasant, West Virginia, which is where the Mothman was originally sighted.
Gotcha.
The Mothman being this kind of like winged He-Man action figure looking creature that, you know, appears before big disasters that happen, like bridge collapses and horrible things like that. And there's a Mothman statue and there's a Mothman museum, and I've seen them both.
That's great, Noel. I love that. The reality, Mothman reality tour. Speaking of Seinfeld. Kara Smith also loves The Conjuring. Mike Pintola says The Orphanage. That was good. The Orphanage by Guillermo Benicio del Toro. That's a good one. You ever seen that one?
Which one?
The Orphanage, del Toro.
Is that a
It's like a period set creepy haunted orphanage.
Yeah. Did he actually direct that, or did he just – I thought he just like produced it or had some
I think he directed it.
Okay.
Maybe. We'll look that up. Matt Winship is and forever will be Silent Hill. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah. So based on a video game.
Yeah.
It's got some cool creature effects.
Yeah?
I haven't seen it, but I've looked up the creatures like we were just talking about. There's one called Pyramid Head that is about like you would think. He has a pyramid for a head.
Michael Wood says, psych horror gets you where shock, gore, and torture porn can't. So Shadow of a Doubt is his movie pick. Zach Hollingsworth, another one for The Witch. Joe Kosky, another Shining. Mary Beth Ward McDonough, Halloween, The Orig, 1978. Melinda Bacal... Oh, man. I think I do this every time with your name, Melinda. Bacaleo, I love Scream.
Scream is a classic.
It is.
It really holds up. It's funny. Mm-hmm. It's got good gore, but not so much that it's like irritating or like, you know, over the top. And it's just like a good kind of spin on the whole genre, like by one of the innovators of the genre, like Wes Craven. You know,
and at the time, I talked about this on the Nate Bargatze episode. It was pretty revolutionary at the time. Horror was in a bad state. And Scream just really brought the whole genre back in favor. Kind of cool. Chris Good, Cabin in the Woods. Agreed. Great movie.
I really dug the shit out of that movie. That's another good twist. Like it had a good kind of, I don't want to spoil anything, but it just has it's a good kind of inversion of like the horror trope. Mm-hmm. It's very much like Scream in that way.
Yeah, it's not what you think it
no,
is.
No, it's cool.
I also liked Cabin Fever, believe it or not. Remember that movie?
Isn't that the one with, like, the peeling skin?
Yeah, I kind of like that.
I haven't seen that one.
It was pretty good.
That's Eli Roth, I
know.
And he's a torture porny guy. Yeah.
I saw
The Green Mile?
No, I did see that. The one that he did recently.
The one that's, like, a ripoff of Cannibal Holocaust?
Yeah.
Green Inferno, I think
Green
it was
Inferno, yeah. Did you see it?
No, I just don't have any interest in that.
Wasn't any good.
No.
Kiefer Euro says, John Carpenter's The Thing. Jenna Van Valen. Oh, my God, so close. To being Van Halen. Wow.
That's a pretty cool last name.
Jenna Van Halen.
Yeah.
I like that. I was just talking to this last night with my hubby. I love horror movies and I want them to be awesome, but I'm usually let down. I feel like they often have a great story or concept or scares, and then the endings feel like a letdown. But she says Cabin in the Woods too. I'm going to skip down because I always feel bad for people who are late to the party. Winston Herbert, 1980s, The Changeling with George C. Scott. That's a good movie. Rebecca Robe, our old pal, says 70s, 80s horror movies, Silver Bullet. Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
That's a Stephen King book or a short story, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the kid in the wheelchair with the, werewolf and stuff. Yeah, that was awesome.
That was good. Mm-hmm. Carrie, Halloween, The Changeling are a few of her favorites. Michael Morgan, Sleepy Hollow, Tim Burton. I don't know if that's a horror movie. Jameson Ousley says Pet Sematary. You know, we've talked about that. Have you seen the new trailer?
Yeah, it looks good. It looks cool.
I think it looks cool.
It looks cool. That movie, have I talked about how that movie wrecked me as a child?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like bad.
Yeah.
Like bad.
Bad things happened.
Really, really bad things happened. I think that it may still be with me to this day, the trauma that caused.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about that in therapy next week.
You should. Ian Bauer says Evil Dead 2. Yeah, those are horror bordering on comedy. Kind of a nice mix. Still horror in a way. Quinn Cabill says it's got to be It Follows. Great foreboding movie with an excellent score, awesome suspense, and superb acting. I loved It Follows.
Me too.
So original.
I like the fact that the timeline of it was vague. Mm-hmm. Like, is it the 80s? Is it when is it set? Because there was like some weird kind of esoteric technology.
It felt 80s. Uh-huh.
But there was like a weird like clamshell phone thing that somebody had that was almost like a little hologram Star Trek-y type thing.
Oh, that's
and it
right.
didn't really, it was very out of place and it made the whole, called into question the whole timeline of the movie, which I liked a lot.
I need to see that again. I think Emily might even like that one.
Yeah. There's a lot of cool little Easter eggs in that one for sure. Sure.
Yeah, and boy, just the concept of doing a movie that's like the scary thing is invisible.
Mm-hmm.
It's like so creative.
Yeah, it was good. And the soundtrack's amazing. It was one of the, that was kind of one of the big ones that started doing the real synthy kind of like, we've been like with Stranger Things and all that. We've got this awesome like synth renaissance, which I really love.
Sure.
All because of old John Carpenter.
That's right. The man. Elizabeth Worsley says, I liked Sinister. Never saw that one. Edward Hackett says, Ravenous. I don't know if that was horror.
That's the cannibal you want, right? With
isn't
Guy Pearce in that?
Yeah, I saw that weirdly many
Robert
years ago.
Robert Carlyle, I want to say. Did I make that up?
Absolutely.
Nice,
Noel.
I nailed it. Wow.
Look at you. You have no holes.
I got no holes. I'm hole free.
Ian Lyons, 80s classic Return of the Living Dead. Teresa DeMauro, I haven't seen any love for In the Mouth of Madness, starring Sam Neill. Fair enough. Let me skip down here. The Dead Zone from Teresa Barker. Yeah, that's a good one. Another Stephen King on the list. Mike Ireland, 100% The Shining. Michael Goldberg, Tie Between Halloween and Evil Dead 2. Thomas Tenorello says Gremlins. Oh, come on. It's not a horror movie unless you're 11. Did you ever see Gremlins, Noel?
Yeah, but that scared the crap out of me when I was 11. There's that part where the dude gets his hand bitten off by the gremlin with the chocolate bar, in the dark lab.
That's right.
That's pretty scary.
All right. Fair enough.
For a child.
I'll stand down then. Anastasia Netzinger, great name. Have a hard time picking just one, but she goes with Misery and Sinister. Ooh, Misery. That was great.
Kathy Bates. Classic.
Classic.
Kathy Bates.
Classic.
Unhinged Bates.
Yeah, man.
Oh, and that thing with the wood block in between the shins.
Yeah, the cobbling. Is that what they call it?
Hobbling.
Hobbling.
Yeah.
Yeah, cobbling.
Cobbling is when you make shoes.
I was listening to our mini crush the other day for funsies, and I was laughing, legit LOLing at Duke and the Stats.
Duke and the Stats. I think, didn't I determine that it was something else?
It was Juking the Stats.
Juking the Stats.
Oh, it was so
and it was a wire
funny.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm going with Duke and the Stats.
Duke and the Stats, everybody.
You know, I know why I think that. I think of putting your dukes up. So I'm thinking Duking the Stats would be like punching the stats.
Okay.
Punching up the stats, right?
That makes sense.
Come on.
I need to say a lot of people are putting The Shining down. So if you said The Shining, I'm not reading your name. It's just because I don't want to read The Shining 25 times. Patrick Gorman says A Thief in the Night scared me as a young Baptist boy. Never saw that, but that boy still lives inside of me, so maybe I'll check it out. Predator, Jordan Wang, kind of a crossover horror sci-fi. That's not horror.
Yeah, no, it's more sci-fi. I don't know, man. It's vague. What makes a horror? I think this horrors have to have like jump scares and like, I do think that's more of like an action movie. That's an action movie.
I agree.
Yeah.
And we're going to close with a funny one. From Alan Smithy, which that in itself is a pretty good joke. He says, Sex in the City 2 is his favorite horror movie.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
That's pretty good, Alan. All right, we're going to move on then. Another Facebook query. And everyone, these are, I'm going to leave them up, like I said. And it is Halloween horror movie time of the year. So if you're looking for some recommendations, go check out that thread on the Movie Crush page on Facebook. All right, the next one I asked for. Since we do trope time, even though there is one guy that hates it, who shall remain nameless, I'm going to do horror movie tropes, specific horror movie tropes right here. Mallory Foskett got things going with babysitters always being horribly self-involved and talking to their boyfriends on the phone until they realize someone else is in the house. Yeah, that's for sure. That's a horror movie trope and a half. We've mentioned this one before, Joshua Scott, but it's a good one. Running up the stairs instead of out the door or through a window or literally any other way out of danger.
My favorite use of that is in Nightmare on Elm Street when she runs up the stairs, but then the stairs turn into marshmallows.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they kind of melt and her feet sink into it. That was pretty cool.
I'm your boyfriend now, Nancy.
Yeah.
That was a good movie.
Welcome to hell. He didn't say that. But
I remember even when I saw Nightmare on Elm Street back then, I was a little, and I may have mentioned this before, a little like taken out of it by the fact that Freddy Krueger ran after people because I was so used to the Michael Myers, Jason, slow walk. And there's something creepier to me about someone who's only slowly walking yet still gaining ground on you.
Well, I don't know, man. Like Nightmare on Elm Street is I think it's kind of goofy. I think I've always thought it was sort of silly because he's got all these one-liners, you know, and like he's sort of like this like weirdly jovial murderer, you know. He talks too much.
Yeah, he did talk a lot.
He talks a lot, man.
Because we're used to the silent killer, too.
That's right.
Freddy broke a lot of tropes, I think.
Have you seen Nightmare on Elm Street 2?
Yeah, I think I saw like the first three.
Well, you may not remember this.
I don't remember two.
Two is considered kind of like an iconic horror movie in the gay community because
oh, really?
It's like there's a lot of kind of like homoeroticism in it, and kind of it's implied that the main character is gay,
mm-hmm.
and he is sort of like the scream queen in this movie,
oh.
but he's a dude,
right?
And it's kind of a big deal.
Wow.
It's really interesting.
That's awesome.
If you go back and watch it, it's pretty – I mean, it's really bad. It was like – it's confusing because Nightmare on Elm Street was obviously such a smash, and then they turned around and made this one really quick.
Right.
It's not a good movie.
Oh, okay.
But it's an interesting kind of like artifact, I guess, of the time.
And oh,
the
nice.
Thinking behind okay. it is pretty, and there's like even a documentary about the whole
– Oh, wow.
Yeah, connections there.
Yeah, it's check that cool. out.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
This is Amy Brown from 4 Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Cody Armstrong says tripping while running, of course.
Like tripping on acid?
No, I think tripping.
Oh, I get it. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. We're back on the tropes. Jason Browder says, fumbling the keys. Oh, man, oh, man. I know where every key on my keychain is, and I can pick them out by feel. There's no need to fumble around looking for the correct key to start the damn car.
Oh, come on, man. But you're not being chased by a...
Yeah, by a chainsaw.
By a chainsaw-wielding psycho.
Come on. Come on. That's come your on. Line, Noel.
Come on, man.
Kayla Giordano says, protagonists never turn the lights on in their house when they hear things going bump in the night. That's true. They always kind of leave it dark.
Yeah.
I would turn on every fucking light in the house.
But then it wouldn't be spooky,
Chuck. I would build lights and turn those on.
It would not be spooky.
Okay. Joseph Noblet says, son of Nob. That's a dumb joke.
That was great. And there's also a great character on Strangers with Candy named Mr. Noblet.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe that's Joseph. Joseph says, I love the creepy old man in the beginning of the film with his ominous foreboding of the terrible things to come. But the characters disregard his warning. Y'all don't want to go down that road. No, not that road. People don't come back from that.
Well, it's like the guy from Pet Sematary. He's like,
everyone says that.
Don't go into the road, Lois. Yeah. The soil is sour.
Is that your New England?
Well, that's how he sounds.
All right.
It's Fred Gwynn.
Oh, that's right.
Who plays Herman Munster.
Yeah, yeah. And we get Lithgow in the new
Lithgow looks cool, only he doesn't say the soil is sour, which I thought was weird because that's a very iconic line. He says something like, the soil is bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that kind of bugged me a little bit, or something along those lines.
Interesting. The soil can't grow daisies.
Yes, exactly.
Vanessa Lopez, our old buddy here on the page, evil demonic people having blanked out eyes or just missing their eyes altogether.
Hmm. I mean, sure. It's a good indicator of someone's demon-possessed.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sierra Rain, such a pretty name. Spooky music leading up to some moment of silence. Then the hero sees nothing and heaves a sigh of relief and then turns around and gets a big fright with a big musical sting.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a fake out with like a cat or something. That's
yeah, tropes upon tropes.
Yeah.
I like it. People are having fun with it. Mm-hmm. Teresa DeMauro says, those slatted or shuttered folding closet doors are in every horror movie. I can't have those in my house. I know what she's talking about. The ones that basically, I think they put them in there so if you're hiding in a closet, you can see out a little bit. You know what I'm talking
about? You mean the little slats?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're angled.
Yeah.
That's right.
But that's why they put those in horror movies, I think.
Sure.
So you can hide in a closet and still peek out.
You can peek out and you get that cool shot behind the slats.
Did I ever tell you, boy, this is perfect for the horror movie episode, my ultimate horror movie shot that I composed in my head 20 years ago?
No, do tell.
All right, here's the scene. People in the woods, bad things are happening on like a camping trip, let's say. And someone gets out in the woods by themselves at night. They're walking around. It's quiet. It's scary. You know the way a flashlight beam looks in the woods?
Yeah.
It looks scary.
Yeah, it kind of cuts like it looks like a weird laser or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and then the thing it's the on 30 feet away,
right.
That's the only thing illuminated, and it just looks creepy.
Uh-huh.
So this is going on. You walk around with a flashlight, and you hear a noise up in the tree. The flashlight slowly rises up the tree to the top, and there is a person hanging from a noose by the neck, seemingly dead. The flashlight beam hits it. As soon as the beam hits it, the person's head pops up and looks at them, brings their hands up with a knife and cuts the rope, and falls out of frame of the flashlight beam, and you just hear from like fucking 50 feet up.
Yeah.
And you just hear a thud on the ground and then footsteps coming hard at you through the woods.
That's awesome.
I got chills right now.
No, that's pretty good, Chuck.
I've been telling people that shot for 20 years.
Well, now someone's going to steal it.
Do it.
Yeah.
That's I want to see it.
It's worth it.
I'm never going to do it.
That's good. That's good. Now you just got to write a movie around it, you know?
I thought about it. Yeah. I think I got a horror script in me.
Cool.
Just need to poop it out one day.
The old brain poops.
Eric Silvani says the killer walking while the people that he is chasing are running, and yet the killer always catches up to them. Speaking of, we were just saying that. Let me see. Let's do a couple more of these. Carolyn Gaston. Carolyn's around on our page a lot, or Caroline. Just a cat jump scares. Just a cat.
Yeah. Sometimes accompanied by, you know, you can combine that one with the other one about the big music swell and then the nothing, and then the something ends up being just a cat.
I'd like to find You know what someone should do a documentary is on the origin of the tropes. Like find the version of the cat jump. Because someone did it first. Trace it back.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I
that'd be hard to do.
You don't think it's like out there?
What? Well, you're right. There's probably a website called originsoftropes.com. All right, I'll do one more. One more. Christopher Watt, every flashlight is faulty. Ain't that the truth? And what do you do when you have a faulty flashlight in a movie, Noel?
You shake it.
And then what do?
You hit it.
You hit it and you look at it.
Yeah, you look at it. That's right.
And sometimes that light pops on in your face and that causes a jump scare.
So there's a really good supercut called It's Just a Cat. And you can find it on movies.stackexchange.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a supercut of all of these different ones. But it doesn't exactly say...
The mirror gag, there's a supercut of that too. Like when you open the mirror, the medicine cabinet mirror, and then close it and someone's behind you. Yeah, there's
That's a good one.
That one's been trope poked. All right, final one here, everyone. Who is the most terrifying movie killer of all time? Scariest killer, not best movie, not scariest movie, the scariest killer. You ready? Who's yours?
I don't know. Name a few. Let me think about it.
Dana Eliason says The Girl from the Ring, for sure. AJ Middlestadt says The Thing. Tammy Mitchell says Maleficent from Sleeping Beauty. Scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, she's a creep.
Kelly Ferris Marks. Rutger Hauer played him in The Hitchhiker. Yeah, that was pretty fucking scary.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I think it was called The Hitcher. And it was Rutger Hauer and C. Thomas Howell.
I could see Rutger Hauer being quite scary.
Yeah. Brian Clark says Uwe Boll. Like in anything, I guess.
No, I think he just means he kills every movie that he makes. He murders.
Oh, okay.
He's a terrible director.
But do you know what he says? He says Pyramid Head from Silent Hill.
There you go.
Slow but cool. Unstoppable and dragging along that humongous sword.
That's right. It is a big sword. Who do I like? I don't know. Shit, man. That's hard.
It is hard.
I'll tell you, it's hard
to beat Michael Myers.
Anton Chigurh from No Country for Old Men.
Oh.
With his cow bolt gun.
Yeah. Not a horror movie, but a killer.
He's a killer. You didn't ask me for a horror movie. You asked me for the scariest killer.
No, God damn it. This is the horror movie spectacular.
All right, that's fine. I retract my answer.
Josh Slaughter. Good horror movie name. He says Jigsaw. Dr. Decker in Nightbreed. That's Benjamin Johnston.
Oh, you know who plays him?
Who?
David Cronenberg.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever saw Nightbreed.
It's okay.
Yeah?
I think Clive Barker felt like it was kind of wrecked, and there's a director's cut of it that's apparently a little better, but it's a very 80s kind of, and like it's very like, it's a little bit kind of campy, but I think Hellraiser is great. Pinhead's a good one.
Yeah, Pinhead is, and so is Candyman. That was pretty good.
Oh, Candyman's pretty scary.
Yeah, that
Tony
guy was.
Tony Todd, yeah.
What was his name?
The actor's name is Tony Todd.
Yeah, he's one of those, it's just unfortunate, but like everybody sees him, says, oh, it's Candyman.
Hey, it's the Candyman.
Like, I'm frightened. And he's probably a sweet guy. Or he may be a creep. Who knows? Let me see here. Gavin Medford got a shout out, Jason, from his silence to his size and the way he walks. He's terrifying. Probably doesn't help that I saw his movies when I was way too young.
I like that part where he takes the girl in the sleeping bag and just bangs it against a tree.
Yeah.
That's a good move.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely hard to think of creative ways to kill people in horror movies.
Yeah.
So anytime someone does a little something different like that, I'm like, all right, good on you.
Especially if it's camping related, you know?
That's
sort of a prerequisite for those movies too, or that one at least.
It's funny. I've been camping my whole life. I've been a camper, and it has never scared me.
No. I have not been in many, many years. I've been thinking about it, though. I really should I do it?
You've never been camping?
Not since I was like a little kid.
Oh, Noel, you would go camping with me. You would love it.
Can I?
Yeah, dude.
I need to.
It's like steaks and booze.
Oh, dude, let's do it.
And guitars.
Dude.
It's not a backpacking trip.
Are you kidding? This has got to happen.
Yeah.
I need a crazy routine adjustment like that. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, that'd be good. You just have to poop and pee outside. Are you okay with that?
Yeah. I do it every chance I get.
I got a creepy camping story, actually. I went camping one time by myself because of heartbreak. How sad is that? Many years ago, I had my heart broken briefly, got over it quickly, but I just couldn't find anyone to go with me, so I went camping by myself with my dog, a pit bull named Jake, who was no longer with us, and camping by yourself is a little different, I would say. I wasn't scared, but it was just like, it's nice to have someone else along because anything can happen.
Sure.
So I was camping by myself. I was in my spot that I always go to, and this guy walks up from the woods and just starts kind of chatting. And when you're camping, like sometimes people can get chatty, but usually you just sort of, especially if someone's by themselves, they're probably there by themselves for a reason, like I was. So this guy just comes up and kind of starts chit-chatting, and I'm like, yeah, and I just set up camp like an hour ago. And we were kind of talking. I was holding Jake, and he's like, all right, man, good talking to you. It's like, yeah, you too. And he's like, I might stop by later on. Okay? And I was like, okay.
I'll see you real soon, Chuck.
And he walks away, and as soon as he's gone, I fucking packed my shit up and moved about 8 miles away to another camping spot.
What did he look like? Did he have a hook for a hand?
No, he didn't look... he looked normal, but that's how they look. That's how the killers look.
Yeah.
He wasn't wearing a hockey mask.
No.
That's your question.
Of course not.
But yeah, this whole like, I might stop by later. I was like, no.
I don't think so.
Because I'm going to be drunk later.
Yeah. That's right.
And I can't fight you off.
No. That was a smart move, Chuck. That was good survival skills.
Thank you. Chris Hazelip says Anton Chigurh. So there you go, Noel. You got backed up.
Vindicated.
Kevin Spacey in Seven. That's from William Angus.
You should write him, though, and tell him that's not a horror movie. And tell him to fuck off.
Alicia Dietz says Freddy Krueger.
Freddy's fun. I still think he's kind of a goofball.
Yeah, she had a good reason, too. He could only get you when you slept. And at some point, you have to sleep. And that was one of the scary notions of that movie is when they're trying to stay awake and can't.
Yeah. And those are some good moments, too, because like in that little doze moment, there'll be like a quick blast of spooky dream stuff, and then they'll wake up and it'll be gone or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It's a good device.
It is.
See, those movies got progressively more goofy, though, I think is what I'm saying. The first one is genuinely pretty spooky.
Yeah.
He doesn't talk quite as much, but then they realize that was sort of his, like, thing. And
right.
And they really leaned into that. And And then he started turning into giant rubber snakes.
Yeah, that's when it got weird. Yeah. He was better to me just like as Freddy.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Another Anton Chigurh from Joshua Hall. Noel, I take it all back. You've been totally vindicated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the dick.
You're not. Don't talk about yourself like that, Chuck.
Ken Heitmuller says the tall man from Phantasm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was scary.
He's got those weird little balls that like shoot out like blades and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Drill into your head. Those are cool death scenes.
Yeah, that was good.
Mm-hmm.
God, another Anton Chigurh. That's from Nick Jackson.
Have you seen Mandy yet, Chuck?
No, man. I got to do it. You know what? Is it a horror movie?
Kind of.
So I should do that, and we should get that out this month.
Yeah.
All right.
It's awesome.
We'll crush the judgment.
I love it. I actually I bought it on Amazon.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
All right. I promise you that I will watch that soon. I've just been – you see my glasses still have a paperclip in them. I'm so busy I can't even go get my glasses fixed. They've been this way for 3 weeks.
That's cool. It's like that Rivers Cuomo look.
Yeah, I guess so. Patrick Gorman says The Ghost and Poltergeist. Sue Hayden Ream says Michael Myers. Anna Maria Guido says from the movie Mama, the dead alive mom. I haven't seen that, but that just sounds scary.
Yeah, it's pretty creepy. It's actually, you know, the guy, I think his name is Doug Jones. He always plays the gangly, weird, like makeup heavy characters in like Guillermo del Toro movies. Like he was Abe Sapien, the fish guy, and he's also the pale man in Pan's Labyrinth. That's another good scary one. The pale man in Pan's Labyrinth, who's got the eyes on his
head.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great one. But he's the mama character. He plays, you know.
That's a specialty.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Austin says Pennywise. Yeah, for sure. Jacob Stubblefield, the group from The Strangers. Yeah, that was pretty scary. Jack Torrance says Dave Leake. Another Anton Chigurh from Tim Danger Cabine. And then we'll finish up here with maybe the greatest movie killer of all time from Lynn Bob. She says Buffalo Bill. Hard to argue with that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good. I like that actor, too.
Yeah, he's good.
What else has he been in? He was in, like, Law and Order or something.
Yeah,
like
he's
that.
Been in a ton of stuff over the years. And he's one of those where it's always like, oh, hi, Buffalo Bill. Can't shake that one.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
All right, now finally, Noel, we're going to close with a comment card, horror movie specific comment card. Let me see here. Sam Westfall says, what are your scared reflexes? Are you screamers? Do you jump out of your seat, grab someone near you, close your eyes? What's your reflex?
I hold my ears.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I am more sensitive to the audio jump scares than I am to the visual stuff. So if I sense that something's coming or the movie's gone real quiet, and it's really funny watching someone holding their ears when a movie is dead quiet. But that's what happens. If I'm like suspecting that something's going to come around the corner.
So are you guarding your ears for sound, literally?
Or I don't really know, Chuck. It's a comfort thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because I used to I think I got really freaked out by fireworks when I was a kid, like the sound of them and like the loud sudden noises. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where it comes from.
You know what Emily's is rarely have I gotten her to watch a horror movie, but she covers her head. Not her face or her eyes. She, puts like a pillow over her head and holds it or something.
That's adorable.
Yeah, it's just like a comfort thing, I guess. I don't do anything. I guess in the theater I think I just fucking tighten up. Like, I think my fists are probably clenched and I'm just really rigid. I think that's my move. I freeze in terror and get rigid. That's my official move.
It seems reasonable. It seems like a reasonable response.
Let me see here. Megan Carroll says, deep self-examination required here, guys. Do you truly believe you would survive a horror movie? She said, I would not because I'm not fast and I have asthma. I'm the weak gazelle of the pack. I would survive a horror movie, I feel like, because I have a tremendous fight or flight response mechanism. And chubby old man here could really get – these little legs could get moving and if I needed to, I think. Or fight back in a crazy psychotic way if I had to.
Would you just windmill at them, just flail?
I don't know. I think I'd try to out-crazy them.
That seems like a smart move.
You know?
Yeah.
What if you did some shit so crazy that Michael Myers was oh, I got to get out of here. Who's this guy?
Yeah, exactly. They need to give him a fucking movie. He's terrifying.
Would you survive a horror movie, Noel?
I don't think so. I don't know, though. I mean, I think that I would hope that my, body chemicals would push me to the brink and allow me to survive. I would hope that. I've never even been so much as like mugged or like attacked. So
oh, me neither.
You know, I don't even know. I can't imagine what I would do.
That must be terrifying.
Yeah, no shit.
Like a real life. This isn't like a. Well, I mean, obviously people have killers after them. That's the most terrifying. But even just being mugged and having a gun in your face.
I just, you know, we had this office training a couple of weeks ago where we had to learn how to disarm an active shooter or someone with a knife. I don't remember any of those moves now, but
well, we skipped out on most of that, didn't we?
No, Chuck. No, I saw. I went to part of it. I missed the first aid part, but I did do the disarming one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So you could do that?
No, I couldn't.
No.
That's the problem. Like, you know, it was like 10 minutes of like learning how to do this, and like, you know,
that's the problem with all that. Like, I took a CPR course, and it's like I need to know CPR now. I have a daughter, and I feel like I forgot it 20 minutes later.
Are you certified?
Yeah, I got certified.
Cool.
But I don't remember it.
Oh, man. You got to brush up.
This was 2 months ago.
Oh, shit. You're hopeless, Chuck.
I think you would react in the moment and that CPR would happen. That's what I think.
I think I would just – the one thing I do remember from this session is that you're just supposed to gouge their eyes out with your thumbs.
Yes, that is correct.
That's the big one.
I thought you meant CPR. You mean the self-defense?
Yes, yes. That would be a poor substitute for CPR.
Tobin Siraki, good name, says, what movie did you see as a kid that scared you? He said his example – maybe something you saw a few years too early. His example was The Exorcist. You know, Tobin, I saw a movie called Something Wicked This Way Comes – Ray Bradbury adaptation when I was a kid.
With
Jason Robards.
And also Jeremy something, the guy from Brazil, isn't he in it?
Oh, yeah, not Jeremy, but...
No. What the heck's his name?
Yeah, that guy. He's great. Well, I can't remember his name.
He's the creepy carnival master guy, right? There's like a traveling circus or something. It's...
Yeah, and that's not a straight-up horror. It's Jonathan something, isn't it?
Jonathan Pryce.
Yeah, Jonathan Pryce.
Yeah, that's it.
It's good. I mean, it's scary for a kid for sure. So that scared me when I was a kid. What about you, Noel? You have a kid movie that scared you?
Well, yeah. Pet Sematary.
Oh, sure.
It wrecked me.
Yeah.
And the TV movie version of It, which I have revisited recently, and it is awful. It is so bad and unscary. It's just really shitty.
Now, when was this?
In the 90s.
Okay.
I remember it was
– I didn't see it.
I got the VHS of it from like – Blockbuster. It was like one of those big double VHS cases. And that movie kept me up nights. Big
really?
Time. I remember my room. I had bunk beds. And I remember like several sleepless nights where I had a friend staying over and I could not go to sleep because of that movie. And now I've watched it. I'm like, what was wrong with you, little kid?
Yeah, you were a little kid.
I know. It was – the clown was scary.
Yeah, sure.
What's his name?
Is that Tim Curry?
Tim Curry. He does a good Pennywise. But again, a lot of wisecracking. A lot of like one-liners. He's like, do you have Prince Albert in a can? Like, it's pretty bad.
Benjamin Morin says, I feel that horror is too generic. There's slasher, gross-out, sci-fi, tension-filled suspense horror, etc. How would you suggest we classify horror films? Well, those are pretty good. Slasher films? I would say gross-out is like, gore. We talked about torture porn, which is an awful new entry into that classification. Suspense horror? Yeah, those are all great, Benjamin. I think you nailed it. Good job. Noel, here's one for you. Chris Rupp says, what's your favorite horror film score?
Oh, man.
That's hard.
Yeah, no, it is. But like, I really like all the John Carpenter stuff. And so I know Joe and Robert will talk about this, but Joe's favorite Halloween movie is Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
Oh, really?
It's the one that doesn't have Michael Myers
in
it. And it's really goofy. Joe mainly likes bad horror movies, which I can appreciate. But the soundtrack is awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really great. It's just good. Like,
is it Carpenter?
Yes, totally Carpenter. Yeah.
Did he direct that too? Or
he did.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Wait a minute. No, I think he did. I think so.
All right. I'm going to go – I mean, I certainly love Carpenter, and it's hard to beat the original Halloween. Such an iconic little piano riff, or Friday the 13th for that matter. But to go more recently, I thought Hereditary did a great, great job with that droning score. So unsettling.
Yeah, and The Witch has a nice droning score too, with a lot of like kind of shrieking strings that sort of swell up from the depths of hell.
Or actually, I got one for you. Let's go old school. Yeah. Psycho.
Psycho's great.
Is there anything more classic than that score?
Bernard Herrmann.
Ring, ring,
yeah.
Ring, ring. Bing.
And great string arrangements, like na 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 na.
Oh, that's great. I'm a psycho. I'm a psycho.
Good shit. Yeah. There you go.
Those are the words.
Those are the official words.
Yeah, we never heard that. Boy, these questions are great. Mike Jones says, what's your favorite horror movie weapon? Freddy's glove, Jason's machete, Leatherface's chainsaw. Boy, it's hard to beat that chainsaw as far as that. I mean, sheer sound design. It's hard to beat that chainsaw in Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But a knife killing is always the creepiest to me. Something about being knifed and seeing a knife go in you is just terrifying.
You know what I don't like? I don't like cutting. I don't like cutting. I don't mind stabbing. I don't like cutting.
Okay.
Cutting bothers me.
Okay.
That makes me look away.
So we're never going to be blood brothers?
No.
Okay.
Well, I might do it if it was just a poke.
So we could be stab brothers?
Yeah, exactly.
Man, stabbing just creeps me out. Someone suggested a Knowles Holes Halloween edition. That's Tobin again. We'll bring out Knowles Holes again, but not this week.
You keep your hands off my holes, Chuck.
Stellan Carlson, our old pal, says, what kind of horror movie would you like to make? Well, I think we kind of covered it. I want to base one around that one shot. And I've always kind of thought that a camping, friends out camping for the weekend thing is, not only is it a classic thing, but it's something that is doable because your set is the woods and some tents and camping gear. Like, you can make something like that on the cheap. I might do that one day, Noel. I might make a horror movie.
Now's the time. I don't know if I think I may have mentioned this when we talked about Hereditary, but yeah, I definitely did. But like the fact that the guy that directed that was originally wanting to do a drama, like a family drama, and then realized that a horror movie was a lot easier to sell.
Oh.
And so that's why we're seeing so much horror now.
Huh.
It happens year round too. It's not just around Halloween times.
But that explains why Hereditary was really a family drama and art.
It was. He didn't have to change much, you know.
But, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, he also did have to change a lot.
Well, I know.
Enter telephone poll. All right, let's finish up with one more here. John Millsap. John's always around. John, your dog kind of looks like mine. Is there a sub-genre of horror you just won't touch, like possession movies, serial killer movies? I feel like you had something that you won't watch. Stuff with kids, right?
Well, I don't know. No, I mean, it's not so much that. Like, I just don't like really mean-spirited movies where terrible things happen to the characters all the time.
Yeah.
I just – it kind of hurts my feelings, you know?
Like, yeah, you I'm those happy-go-lucky horror
movies. I like
movies.
A happy-go-lucky horror movie. No, that's the thing, though. Like, Hereditary is definitely an example of one of those. But I thought the movie was great. But I don't seek it out. Like, it's not something I like – if it's got dramatic reason behind it, then I'm into it. But some horror movies, like the torture ones especially, are just so nihilistic and hateful that I'm just kind of like, I don't want to fuck this. It's like,
yeah.
Are there other things I could watch?
Yeah, I think in order to be a successful horror film, there need to be peaks and valleys and tension and relief of tension. And I don't know. I feel like those torture porny movies are just sort of – I don't think they're crafted thoughtfully.
They're not – there's not really much – thought behind it, and the pacing is usually kind of bad, and it's you know what it is, and I get why they call it torture porn, because it's like
it's torture to watch it.
No, it's just like a porn. There's the parts in between the porn parts, the sex parts, right? And then it's all about the sex parts, and everything in between it is just like a waste of time. Like, who gives a shit? Just fast forward, just show me. That's why I'm saying I look up the Saw movies. I just want to know what the murder devices are.
Right.
I don't want to watch the movie because then I have to watch all the in between parts.
Oh, I love it. All right, everybody, here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. Get on that Movie Crushers page. Find out some people that live in a town, in your town or near you, and get together and watch a horror movie together this month. Do a little movie club in your town. Get some Movie Crushers together and watch a good horror movie.
You know what would be fun? A lot of people do this on these Facebook groups, is people will have like watch parties.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Where you like go on there, uh-huh, and like you actually kind of live tweet the movie or like comment on it while you're
watching. Yeah,
it.
That'd be cool too.
Yeah. I don't know.
We could take part in that even,
we
right?
could.
So what do? Just queue it up at the same time?
I think you do.
Wow.
Maybe.
I'd love to do a fun like you know, rent a theater out and do a big screening party at some point.
Yeah, maybe. Cool. Yeah, maybe the Plaza or the Midtown that they rent out.
We could totally do that. Would you come to Atlanta, people?
Come to Atlanta, people,
and see a movie with us.
Come on,
a big old party.
That's where you shot your promo thing for the show, right? Wasn't it at the Midtown, right?
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. All right, everyone. That's it for this week. Horror Movie Spooktacular Part 1. Join us next week for Part 2 with Robert Lamb and Joe from Stuff to Blow Your Mind. Like Noel said, they know their horror movies. And I'm looking forward to just doing a lot of listening in that one and queuing them up to educate me and all of you on some of because trust me, for these guys, it'll be obscure and weird.
Yeah.
They won't be like, no, Friday the 13th.
Yeah, they won't be like me.
No.
It's going to be much, much more in-depth.
Like the Suspiria is too mainstream for them.
Yeah, that's true.
They're like, everybody's seen that.
That remake looks awesome, by
it
the
does.
Way.
It looks
it
great.
It looks really cool. And apparently it's horrifying.
Yeah, I can't wait.
There's like one sequence that they showed at some kind of press event over lunch. And apparently it's like I've heard it described. Yeah, it's like a woman dancing who is somehow with her body through like witchcraft or some black magic controlling the body of another woman who's in another room. And her body is just like breaking and like her limbs are just splitting backwards.
Oh,
and
good
she just
God.
Ends up like as some kind of like drooling ball of urine and vomit on the ground.
Yeah, there's something about the cracking of limbs too. That's really bad.
Oh, and it's all sound effects and
for sure.
Yeah, that gives me the creeps just hearing about it.
All right, so tune in next week for Horror Movie Spooktacular Part 2, and listen up this week. I'm not sure who your homework is, everyone. We're so far behind here at Movie Crush. We're just playing it fast and loose. So, I hope you enjoyed the Stranger Things episode though, and we will see you next time on the Mini Crush. Have a fun tour, Noel.
Hey, thanks, man. I'll see you soon.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com. /compatibility.